Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew chapter 24. This is where we'll begin at today. I'm not going to stick in this one text, which is what I normally like to do. I am going to cover a topic. We're going to cover the disease of apathy. That's going to be our message this morning. It's going to be our radio broadcast tomorrow, except tomorrow will be the 28-minute version of what's going to happen this morning. I don't like to do the same thing on the broadcast as I do in Sunday mornings to give you an extra service. So I always normally do that. But I went through and had another. I preached one. I was down here at 11 o'clock last night preaching. And anyhow, I've done another message and I got 20 of the 28 minutes. I said, nah, I'm not doing this. This other message needs to be on the radio. So I went back and done another. I deleted it and did another message. And it's this message. It'll be different, no doubt, this morning than it'll be on the broadcast, but we're going to cover the disease of apathy. A good Bible definition of it, verse 12, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12 is what I think is a good definition of apathy. And let's go ahead and read about it. It says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we've had this opportunity to share your word with these folks. And Father, we're thankful that there are people gathered here today. I remember when the services were nearly empty on Sunday mornings. And Father, to see the numbers and things, we're so thankful for you and the people that are here. Father, we can't do anything without your help. And we commit this service to you. And Lord, you can study and prepare, but I don't want to trust in that. I want to trust in you. And Lord, you're able to touch hearts, and we pray that you would. We pray that you see someone saved today. We pray that we see someone back in a right fellowship with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now remember, I've said that the title of this message is the disease of apathy. I said this is a good definition of it, and I believe it is. And I think what apathy is basically it's when someone waxes cold. They might be on fire for the Lord, you know, for a while, and then for one reason or the other, they wax cold and indifferent to the things of the Lord. I've seen that happen. I pastored for 29 years, and I've seen that so many times that I just don't care to mention all of them to you. I've seen people red hot, on fire, interested, moving, and things going great. And I've seen them just totally wax cold and become totally indifferent to the preaching of the Word and indifferent to the things of God. And that's what spiritual apathy is. It's growing cold and indifferent toward spiritual things. Let me give you the definition one more time. It's growing cold and indifferent towards spiritual things. Well, if you have a disease, then there will be symptoms. You'll go to a doctor, and the doctor will ask you about certain things to try to diagnose what you have. If you have a disease, normally that disease will have certain symptoms that indicate the apathy or indicate the disease. Apathy is the same way. If you have it, you'll have certain symptoms in your life that will indicate it. And I'm going to do a lot this morning in showing you what the symptoms are. Turn to Isaiah chapter 29. Probably could have done that in Matthew 15 and kept you there, but just go ahead and go to Isaiah 29 for sake this morning. Let's go ahead and get some of the symptoms of apathy so you can see whether you have it or not. You know what? As I've already begun, you know whether you've waxed cold or not. I mean, really, you already know whether you have or not. Very rarely. Well, sometimes it can get to a person to where they get so desensitized to being out of fellowship with the Lord that they grow cold, even to knowing the condition that they're in. But in the book of Isaiah chapter 29, here's the first symptom of having spiritual apathy. It says in verse 13, "For the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth, they draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips, they do honor me, but they have removed their heart far from me." The first symptom of spiritual apathy is there's no heart in the worship. It might be plenty of coming to church or coming to church every now and again, but there's no heart in their worship. It's all outward. It's all outward pomp there. It's all outward show. But there's no heart in it. Man, I tell you what, when I worship the Lord, I just don't want to put on a show and act like I'm worshiping. I want it to be real, because I want it to be from the heart. I want to sing to Him, but I want to sing to Him from my heart. And I want to preach, but I want to preach from my heart. And I want to pray to Him, but I want to pray from my heart. When spiritual apathy sets in, there ain't no heart in the worship. There's a lot of places of worship today where there ain't no heart in it. Ain't no heart in it whatsoever. Brother Hollis, give me something that Spurgeon wrote years ago. And here's what he wrote. Famous preacher in the 1800s. It says, in talking about the Metropolitan Tabernacle, it had 5,000 members in it. We have used no carnal attractions to gather. We have used no carnal attractions to gather people together to worship here. All God's people said. We have used no carnal attractions to gather people to worship here. We have procured nothing to please their taste by way of elaborate music, fine dresses, painted windows, or processions, and the like. We have used the gospel of Jesus without any rhetorical embellishment, simply spoken as a man speaketh to his friends, and God has blessed it, and He will bless it still. No heart in the worship. You know what? In a lot of places, there's no heart in the worship. They come to the church for the wrong thing. They're coming to church to be entertained and pampered and puffed up. They ain't coming to church to hear a message from the Word of God that says, thus saith the Lord. And to overcome this idea of no heart in the worship, that's why churches have went into the entertainment business today. It's what they do. It's what they do. Well, it's nothing but apathy. It's indifference to the Word of God. Man, the Word of God, I love the Word of God, don't you? Everything should key off the Word of God. No heart in the worship. You can come to church. That's why I'm trying to get out of saying, come in the church. You can come to church and not worship. You can come to church and sit back there as cold as December and not get anything out of it. I want you to come to God's house to worship. From now on, we go to church. We don't go to church. We're going to worship. It tells you the reason why you're coming. Coming to worship the King. No heart in a worship is a sign of spiritual apathy. Ezekiel chapter 33. I'll turn you to these. I'm not in no hurry. Not in no hurry at all. You think it'd be wore down? I've preached 6 times this week. This is my 7th one. Counting Sunday school, it's 8. Wish it could be 8 more. But no, I'm just more fired up than I was on Monday. Spending that much time in God's house. Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, here's the second symptom. The second symptom of spiritual, the spiritual disease of apathy. What was the first? No heart in the worship. Just show up. Sit in the pew like a proverbial knot on a log and get nothing out of the singing and nothing out of the service whatsoever. Apathy. Indifference. Indifference. All right, here's the second symptom. Verse 30 of Ezekiel chapter 33. You mark these down and you look at them at home. Also, thou son of man, the children of the people are talking against thee. Now, the idea of against thee, look, they weren't talking bad about Ezekiel. They were talking about Ezekiel. I think Ezekiel was probably a good speaker. And he was teaching the children of Israel that were in the captivity. He were teaching them God's word. Now watch this. They're talking against thee or about thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses. And say, speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. Now, folks, that sounds great, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound on the surface great? I mean, here's this group of people, and they're saying, man, you need to come down and hear this man called Ezekiel. He's bringing the word of God to us. And I don't know about you, but if I was Ezekiel, I thought, yeah, things are looking up. People were excited about coming and hearing the word. But now the Lord sends Ezekiel a message. And the Lord which looks on the heart knew the hearts of the people. Here's what God saw. What Ezekiel saw would have been a whole lot different than what God saw. Do you realize this morning what's important is what God sees? That's what's important. That's what else. Verse 31. They come unto thee as the people cometh. They sit before thee as my people. They hear thy words, but they will not do them. They hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after covetousness. The second symptom of spiritual apathy is no obedience to what you hear. Not only no heart in your worship, but no obedience to what you hear. You listen and you listen and you listen and you shake your head, but it's like water off a duck's back. It's not getting into the heart. It's not being moved into practicing in your life. That's what spiritual apathy is. It's listening, it's hearing, but at the same time, it's not doing. Do you have any of those two symptoms? Symptom number one, no heart in the worship. Symptom number two, no obedience in the worship. You don't obey what you hear. The Bible says in the book of James, it's not the hearer of the word that's blessed, it's the doer of the word that's blessed. And it's nothing but apathy if you listen to a message or you read the Word of God and it reveals to you things that you need to do and you hear it, but you don't do it. It's like knowing to take a cure. Maybe you have a disease. Maybe you have a sickness and here's a cure for your disease that you take. It'll make you well. And you know it'll make you well, but it don't make you well till you take it. You listen to the Word of God. You need to put into practice what it says. So there's no heart and there's no obedience. Third thing, and I'm not going to turn you to this text. I'm just going to kind of quote it to you. Psalms chapter 63, David talked about how his soul thirsted for God. Oh, let's turn to it. Psalm 63, his soul thirsted for God. Do you know what that thirst feels like? I ask you a question. Do you know what that thirst feels like? Do you have a thirst for God? Now, I know what it feels like not to be thirsty for God. I came to church here when I was a little boy at times, and I wasn't thirsty for coming to church. I was thirsty for staying at the house. I had to come. My dad was a Baptist deacon. Like I told him up at Ray Nellis, had black suit, wingtip shoes, mean. Baptist deacon he was. He really was. There wasn't no option whether to come to church, but I wasn't thirsty. He was driving me to drink, but I never came to drink when I got here. I didn't have no spiritual thirst. Didn't have no spiritual thirst. Well, when the Lord touched my heart, I know what it feels like to be thirsty. Can I ask you, do you know what it feels like to be thirsty spiritually? Can't wait to get to God's house. Seriously, do you know what that feels? Can't wait to get there to hear God's word. That's spiritual thirst. Can't wait to get up in the morning and tell the Lord you love Him and talk to Him a little bit. You know what I mean, Kermit? You know, can't wait to say, Lord, I love You and thank You for another day to live. Can't wait to open His book and spend some time in His Word. You know what I mean? That's thirst. Thirsty. Love to be around His people. Other people with thirst for the Lord and see Him. Talk to Him. That's a spiritual thirst. When you lose your spiritual thirst, my friend, that's a sign of spiritual apathy sets in. Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. Watch this now. My soul thirsts for Thee. My flesh longs for Thee as a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You see the thirst that David had for God? When the spiritual apathy sets in, that thirst is no longer there. I watch people that get thirsty in the beginning, and they come to every service. They do. They come to all of them. They'll come to Sunday school morning worship, evening worship. They'll come on Wednesday night, but you can watch that thirst begin to dry up. They'll start missing this service, then they'll miss another service. And after a while, about a couple months, they don't come at all. Or they'll come once every now and again. And then there's always a convenient excuse to cover why it's happening. It might be, it's always the preacher's fault, isn't it? Well, if y'all had a better preacher, I'd come more often. Well, it's all right in the beginning when you're thirsty. The problem is the thirst is gone. It's not there. And you can't cover it. People see it. You should see it. When you lose your thirst for spiritual things, hey, folks, you should have a thirst for the Word of God. You should have a thirst for fellowship with God. You should have a thirst to be at God's house. You should have a thirst to be around God's people. That's a sign of the new birth, for one thing. But it's also a sign that you're close to the Lord. Do you have a thirst for God? Man, you don't have to drive sheep that are thirsty. They'll come to the water to drink. They'll come to the water to drink. So, no heart in the worship, no obedience to what you hear, and no thirst. The fourth one, there's no honor in the service. There's no honor in the service. In the book of Malachi chapter 1, it talks about the priests of Israel. These were men that God called to a special position in Israel. They were God's men. They represented God to the people. They were given the privilege of working at God's house. And they were given the privilege of being teachers of God's law. They were also given the privilege of sharing with the people or doing the sacrifices for the people. They were given the honor of doing all of those things. But in the book of Malachi chapter 1, in the latter stages of that chapter, it gives one of the statements that they made about their service to God. They said, "Oh, what a weariness it is. Oh, what a weariness it is." In other words, instead of considering it an honor to serve their God, they considered it a weariness. Isn't that sad? And folks, I want to tell you something today. That's a great sign of spiritual apathy. It's when your service for God begins to be a burden to you. When it gets to be a burden to you, and it's not an honor to you, that's a sign of spiritual apathy. You should consider it an honor to come to God's house, to be in His house, to worship Him. If you're a teacher, you should consider it an honor to be given the privilege of teaching His Word. You should consider it an honor to do whatever you do for the Lord. It shouldn't be like pulling teeth. It should be a privilege and an honor to do it. Some people come to church and they go, "Oh, I gotta go to church tomorrow." Stay at the house then. Really, you'd be better off if you're going to droop in here and sit down like the guy on the Dunkin' Donuts commercial. You ever seen that? Yeah, years ago, there's a Dunkin' Donut commercial. The poor old guy that made the donuts get up in the morning and go, "Time to make the donuts." And that's how he'd walk out the front door. Remember that? Then he'd walk in the evening and he went, "I made the donuts." And there he'd come in. And he made himself. Remember all that? That's the way people go to church. Gotta go to God's house. They walk in, they sit down, "Well, I went to God's house." Same attitude. See what I'm saying? There's no honor in the service. He deserves our service. He deserves our worship. Whatever we do for Him in His work is the greatest honor that could ever be bestowed upon human beings, to serve Jesus Christ in this life. When your service becomes a drudgery, when it becomes a weariness, when there's no thirst for spiritual things, when there's no obedience to what you hear, when there's no heart in the worship, you have the disease of spiritual apathy. And it's already set in and you need to do something about it. People who have spiritual apathy don't worship. They don't work. I'm not talking about in the world. They don't work for Christ. People that have spiritual apathy don't worship, they don't work, and they don't witness. They don't do none of those things. Do you work for the Lord? Do you worship? Do you witness? People with spiritual apathy don't do none of those things. They sing, but not from the heart. They come, but they don't worship. They talk about everything, not about God. They care, but just about worldly things, not spiritual things. They work, but not for Jesus. They hear, but they don't obey. All of these are signs of spiritual apathy. Do you got it? Do you got it? If you do, you need to correct that today. The Lord sent this message for you. Matter of fact, the Lord sent this message for everyone here, because all of us have the ability to fall into spiritual apathy, to get desensitized to what we need to do, to get cold and indifferent towards spiritual things. What causes spiritual apathy? Now we've looked at the symptoms. Let's look at the causes. What causes spiritual apathy? Turn to the book of Romans chapter 12. I'm sorry to turn you everywhere. I like to keep you in one spot. But you ought to thank God you're turning. You ought to thank God you're turning. I pray that you got your Bible with you. If you can't find things fast in your Bible, write the verses down and look it up when you go home. Because if you get lost looking for things in your Bible, you'll miss the message. Romans chapter 12. What causes spiritual apathy? What happens when one becomes apathetic? What causes it to happen is what we're looking at. Look at verse 1. "I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice. It's holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Isn't it just reasonable that you serve Him? Him that saved you from an eternity in hell. Him that gives you eternal life. Him that gives you victory over death. Him that gives you a home in the Father's house and all these things. Isn't it just fitting that we serve Him? He's not asking anything unreasonable to us for us to serve Him. I don't know. It gets to seem to me like anymore you have to drive people to serve the Lord. You shouldn't have to do that. those that's been redeemed by His blood. You shouldn't have to do it. It's a reasonable service. It's not unreasonable that you come to God's house and worship Him. It's not unreasonable that you read His book to learn more about Him. None of these things are unreasonable. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, transfigured by the renewing of your mind. The first cause of one becoming spiritually apathetic is a failure to renew your mind. A failure to renew your mind. Matthew 24:12 said, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Folks, this is a sinful world and a sinful place that we're living in. It scares me to death to read a newspaper or to listen to the news that the things... So you don't think it's getting worse? It's getting horrible. There's things that... Man, I grew up in the 70s. Boy, that makes you sound 10,000 years old. I grew up in the 70s, and the 60s was supposed to be bad, and the 70s was worse. But you take shows on television today that you watched in the 70s that were questionable, are family shows, considered family shows today. They were questionable back then. I mean, folks, it's getting horrible. You go to work and you go to school and you're around so much sin. You see it and you hear so much things that are horrible. If you don't renew your mind daily as a Christian, you'll drift into spiritual apathy. There is a need to renew your mind. And you know how often you need to renew your mind? You need to renew your mind every day. Every day. Man, I worked on a loading dock for 14 years. And you hear a lot of things on a loading dock. But one of the things, sometimes I just like to go out at lunchtime when they let me do it. When I worked, they let me go out and set my... Instead of going to the break room, let me go in my truck because they knew I had to get ready to preach all the time. So they allowed me to do that. I just remember how refreshing it was after all you'd hear to go out and sit in my truck and just meet with Jesus for a while in His Word and just refresh my mind, renew it, keep me close to Him, see? Keep me in tune and sensitive towards spiritual things. Oh, folks, if you stop renewing your mind, you'll fall into spiritual apathy. That's what happens to people. That's what happens to people. Where do you get your mind renewed at? Anybody want to tell me? Where do you get your mind renewed at? You get your mind renewed every time you come to God's house. Every time you come and you listen. You know what renews your mind is this book. Every time you come in and you listen to a sermon, it renews your mind. But if you come four times a week, including Sunday school, that's still not enough renewal. It's not enough renewal, brother. You've got to get the Word of God every day of your life. And you need to renew your mind. As you keep your mind being renewed, then it keeps you from falling into this spiritual indifference. It keeps you hot. It keeps you close to Jesus. What happened is God's people's not reading God's Word no more. They'll never open the book. They'll spend no time with the Lord. They don't take advantage of God's house. They don't do those things. And then what happens as a result, they fall into this spiritual indifference. They don't care. They grow cold as December. And they get to where they just don't care. They don't care. You can see it in their faces. They don't care. I've been standing here preaching my heart out before and look back at sometimes people that absolutely, you can tell they don't care. They could care less to what you're saying. They just show up. Now, I can understand that of unsaved people. I don't understand it of God's people unless they've drifted into spiritual what again? Apathy. Indifference. No feeling. No what? No feeling. No enthusiasm about spiritual things whatsoever. The buddy of Polka Winds, there's a lot of enthusiasm there. More enthusiasm over Polka Winds than spiritual things. 2,000 years from now, it won't matter if Polka won or not, will it? 100 years from now, it won't matter either. What matters is the things of the Lord. The important things of the Lord is what matters. Folks, I tell you, if you quit renewing your mind, you'll fall right into sin. You'll become desensitized. Sin won't bother you anymore. Kind of like a callus. Boy, I told you before, I look at my hands now, I'm like, I ain't even going to say it. I used to have calluses all over them, man. It's tougher than nails. Really. I mean, my hands used to be, I used to look at Ellie, look like dishpan hands. Horrible. I mean, look at my hands. I don't look like I ever worked a day in my life. I mean, really. But you know what? If I go out and shovel now, you know what I get? I get a blister. You ever work for your dad and get a blister? I look at him and, oh man, I got a blister. You know why that is? My hands are sensitive now. They're not tough as they were. Sensitive hands. But you know what? If I keep a shoveling, I go back tomorrow and shovel. And I go back the next day, Brother Jeff, and I keep a shoveling. You know what I'm going to get again? I'm going to get calloused. I'm going to get to where that shoveling don't bother me at all. I'm going to get to where that shoveling don't bother me at all. Everybody see where I'm going with it? You can stop renewing your mind. You know, you can miss a service at God's house. And if you're in a habit of coming all the time, it bothers you. You notice what I'm saying? You get in the habit of coming all the time, and then you miss. You're like, oh, boy, I feel horrible. I so miss God's house, you know. But you know what? You can miss again the next Sunday, and it won't bother you as much as it did the previous Sunday. And then you can go on and you can miss the next Sunday, and you can keep doing that till you reach a point till you know where it won't do. You become calloused, and it don't bother you at all. You can hear the church bell ringing, and it just went, just another noise. You know, it don't bother you at all. What happened? You got calloused. You got calloused. And that's another good idea of what it means spiritual apathy is. Someone, by constantly not renewing their mind, they drift into bad practices, and then they get to where those bad practices don't bother them at all. Man, I've went and talked, Brother Sean, to people, and told them, said, now look, man, you used to be involved. You used to be in God's house. You used to get excited over the things of God. And they went, yeah, look here. Don't care. Man, you didn't used to be that way. They quit renewing their mind. They quit getting God's word. They quit spending that time with Jesus. They quit going to God's house. And now they're so cold and calloused. It don't bother them at all. And the best thing about me coming to see them was when I left. Spiritual apathy happens to many people. And I've seen it happen to many people. And it can happen to you. You know, boy, I don't want to even sound more like a sissy, but I don't got no calluses, but I watered flowers this summer. And Debbie always watered flowers. She bought all these pot plants, you know, and she said, you get not pot plants. Plants, you know. Don't want you get that. Don't want you miss that. Remember, folks, this goes out on the internet. I got to make this crystal clear what I'm talking about. Plants in a pot. So, here's what happened. She told me to water them. She asked me to water them. After she told me to water them. So I watered them. And you know, in silly things, you know you have to water them every day. Why would you get something you had to water? You plant in the ones in the ground, I didn't have to do that every day. But the ones in a stupid plant, they have to have that water every day. I'd go out there and I'd be... I used the water hose because I thought it looked like a sissy using the water can. So I used the water hose. But you know, when it'd be hot, if I didn't water them, you could watch them just dry up. Brother Sean, you could see them just dry up and see the, you know, because she'd come in and she'd be able to tell. I thought I could move it in every 2 days, but you didn't water them, did you? What makes you say that? It'd be out there, they'd be all wilty looking and droopy. You know why that is? Does anybody know why that happened? Why did it happen? You never watered. You need to water yourself, my friend. You're just like a potted plant. If you don't water yourself, you'll wilt. You'll wilt. You'll wax cold. You'll become desensitized to spiritual things. Some of you haven't been watered for a long time. You can get watered here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You're home on Monday night. You get a little water in there. But you can also got a book in front of you that you can water yourself with every day of your life. If you don't, you'll wilt. You'll become desensitized. Things won't bother you anymore. You know, when you're close to Jesus, you have a sensitive conscience. When you're not close to Jesus, things don't bother you at all. Things don't bother you at all. So, what causes it to happen? Failure to renew your mind. A failure to renew your mind. A failure to confess your sin. And a failure to confess your sin. And to forsake your sin. When you see sin in your life, what do you need to do with it? You need to confess it. You don't need to blame it on somebody else. You need to confess it, get it out of your life, and move on with the Lord. So those are two causes of spiritual apathy. failure to confess your sins and a failure to confess your sins and to renew your mind. Both those two things is what causes it. All right, let's move on to a third point. What's the danger of spiritual apathy? What's the danger? Moving good. What's the danger of spiritual apathy? We've defined what it is. We showed you the causes of it. A failure to renew your mind, failure to confess your sin, and to forsake it. Those are two causes. Sin gets in your life. If you don't confess it, it'll keep getting worse and worse and worse. What's the dangers of apathy? Well, let me give you the first danger. Number one, you can pass it on. You know, that's a disease you can give to somebody else. There are some diseases that are very highly contagious. Spiritual apathy is contagious. You can give it to other people. Zeal for the things of the Lord sometimes can influence other people to be zealous. In the book of Corinthians, Paul told them that their zeal had provoked many. You want to provoke others to serve the Lord that you're around, do you not? But I'm going to tell you something. Spiritual apathy can provoke many too. They can catch that same disease that you have. And it bothers me. Now, I'm going to say some things here and hope you take them right. But I'm going to say them because they need to be said. Number one, I've seen, there's nothing as zealous, Brother Hollis, as a little child. These little children that come to the Lord when they're 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. These little children that come and trust Jesus. And you know what? I've seen them have such zeal. Brother, I mean zeal for the things of the Lord. Happy. I watch them come in church, bouncing, smiling, come up and hug the preacher, you can tell they can't wait to get to God's house. You can see it in them. And you talk about refreshing for a pastor. Watch them little ones come up and hug me and can't wait to go next door and smile. And they'll carry little Bibles enough and they're zealous about spiritual things. I've seen them grow older and lose that zeal, though. And spiritual apathy, you know why that is? You know why they develop, Brother Raines, spiritual apathy? That's exactly what they've seen in their parents. That's exactly what they see. I wanted to be faithful to the Lord, A, because I love my Lord. B, because I had two boys that were watching me when I was raising them. I did not want to pass the disease of apathy to them. What is the matter with you that you don't care whether you pass the disease of apathy to your children? I mean, you should want them to serve the Lord, should you not? You should want them faithful to Jesus, should you not? You should want them active in the Lord's work, should they not? If you want them to do that, then for crying out loud, they need to see that in you. And if they don't see that in you, and you come crying to me when they're 18 and say, I don't know what happened to them, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened to them. When they wanted to come, you never brought them. When they wanted to hear about things, you never opened the book and taught them anything. And I'm sorry to be upset, but I've watched that for 29 years, and I know what I'm talking about. There is so much out in that world to pull children astray. This is one place you can bring them through where they can get something that can change their life forever. Oh, God's people said, stand with me on this thing. I'm worried about the kids. I'm worried about the kids. Watched it for 29 years, Bertha, and I'm tired of it. If you're a Christian, they need to see faithfulness in you. If you're a Christian parent, they need to see that faithfulness in you. They need to see it. If they don't see it, they'll catch your Kermit, they'll catch your apathy. I don't understand why that don't bother anybody. Do you? Kill me. Paul said, that which you have both heard and seen in me do. They need to see it in you. All God's people say it. It's a contagious disease. Got the first one? I'm showing you the dangers of apathy. It's contagious. You'll pass it on to other people. A teacher can pass it on to their class. A parent can pass it on to their children. It can be passed. That's why you need to be what again? Be faithful. It'll kill church. It'll kill church. I was looking online one day. I told you about it. And I wasn't looking for a job. But I seen where they had church jobs. I wasn't looking for a church job. I have one. I thought it was funny. I was looking at all the, you know, they're trying to get preachers, and it says Baptist Church. And this is what I read, didn't say it, this is what I read. Baptist Church. 700 members, 110. I thought, that's got to be a mistrip. They must have forgot to put this little top line on the 7. And look at another one. 500 members. 210. I don't know about you, but last time I checked, I know I'm from Bancroft and all, but if you got 210, that's what you got. You know what I mean? But that's what you got everywhere. It's apathy. It's everywhere. It's apathy. You don't got, in every church, there's a faithful core. And it's everywhere the same way. There's a faithful core. There's not, you might have 200 members, but then you got 70 people that are faithful. I just think if you have 200 members, it should be 200 people faithful. You all agree with me? But that is a sign of the apathy. And over time, Brother Mike, it'll kill a church. It'll kill it. When spiritual apathy sets in the church, you got a few working while most people watch. See, that's a clear sign of it, Brother Mike. When you have just a few working, but you have a lot of people watching, that's a sure sign of spiritual apathy that's taken hold in the church. You got more watchers than you do doers or faithful people. It'll kill a church. A Laodicean church in the book of Revelations, chapter 3. Spiritual apathy killed that church. Spiritual apathy killed that church. It'll kill your church. Number 3, third danger is cause you to waste your life. Waste your life. There's only one life that'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will what it'll last. The Bible says we're to redeem our time. I told you why I want to live, don't you? I'd like to see Jesus and all. Oh, I can't wait to see my Savior. I'd love to see Him. But I want to serve Him a while here. That's why I'm living. For me to live is not money or anything else. For me to live is what? Christ. That's what Paul said. For me to live is Christ. So I don't want to waste my time. I want to buy my opportunities to serve the Lord here, redeem my time. See? When spiritual apathy sets in and you become desensitized to spiritual things, indifferent to spiritual things, you'll waste your time. That's time that could have spent faithful to the Lord just thrown absolutely away. Number 4, spiritual apathy takes the heart out of a pastor. It takes his heart. It takes his heart out. It destroys his motivation. I've seen it happen to a lot of them over the years. Because I've been here so long, I've seen a lot of people just wasn't able to make it. They watched the apathy. They watched the apathy. They watched the apathy. And then they got to the point to where, Brother Joe, they felt like they were just wasting their time. They weren't, because they were serving the Lord. Never waste the time serving the Lord. Whether other people do or not, what you're doing for Jesus, then it's not a waste of time, is it? But they watched it. They watched it. And suddenly it just took their heart out. Just killed their motivation and their desire. It can take the heart out of the pastor. I've seen it. I've seen it many times. Seen it many times. What's the cure now? This is the last thing. You like this message? I hope you do. That's not why I'm preaching it. Whether you like it or not, I was going to preach it. Real true what I'm saying today. And what's the matter with the churches in the United States is this spiritual apathy. And to try to cover it up, they start entertaining. Try to get people in. Dances and movies and donuts. Try to cover it all up. Don't open the book up and preach it at all. By God's grace, we'll never do it. We have go down to 10 people, we won't do it. Been down there before. God's Word is what gives God's people strength. God's Word is what He uses to convict the sinner. God's Word is what He uses to cause spiritual growth. God's word is what he used to give you assurance of your salvation. I think God's church, the Lord's church, should preach God's word. That should be the draw. You should came here this morning to hear the word. If you came here for any other reason, well, you just as well stayed home and watched the NFL today. Because the reason why you come is the word. The cure for apathy is 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to read this and then I'm going to quit. I see this everywhere, folks. Everywhere I go, I see it. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34. Here's the cure for it. I showed you the dangers of it and what it'll do. Didn't I show you all those things? Showed you the dangers of it. I showed you the cause of it. And I've showed you the definition of it. Now I'm going to show you how to cure for it. I'm going to give you something that'll fix it. You know what has to happen? Verse 34 of 1 Corinthians 15. Awake to righteousness. Awake! Wake up! You need to wake up. Because when someone has this spiritual apathy disease, they've grown silent. I mean, they just absolutely are asleep. And you know, you look up that word awake, it means to awake out of a stupor. It's like you've been drunk and don't know what you're doing. And it means to be awoke out of that. You need to wake up. You need to wake up and repent. And I mean repent. I don't mean to be sorry for 2 months. And then go back to doing what you did before. I'm so sick of that. I can't stand that either. Oh, you know. If you're sorry for what you've done, repent of it and then don't do it no more. Don't repent of it for a month and go back and do it again. Awake and repent and rededicate your life to the Lord. You got it? Awake and repent. And rededicate your life to the Lord. You might need to do that. Spiritual apathy. The disease of spiritual apathy. Let's all stand. Well, folks, that will be the radio broadcast tomorrow. And I did.